Good morning. So initially reading this, it might seem really weird and off topic because Paul has just been discussing marriage and divorce and remarriage and singleness. And then after this passage, he goes again and talks about widowhood and singleness. And so we can ask, what is the big idea of sticking this random section about living as you're called in between two passages about marriage and singleness with some pretty weird analogies mixed in there? I think he is doing here on a smaller scale what he does later in chapters 12 to 14 of 1 Corinthians. We see that chapter 12 is about spiritual gifts, and chapter 14 is also about spiritual gifts, but smack dab in the center is chapter 13, which is all about love. And so Paul sometimes follows this ABA format where the B section in the middle provides wisdom for how to live in the A sections on either side. So chapter 13 provides wisdom for how to understand spiritual gifts through love. And verses 17 to 24 here provide wisdom for how to live as we were called. I also believe that this wisdom found here is the very hub of what Paul is discussing. He's very briefly trying to help us understand what uncircumcision and circumcision and slavery and freedom have to do with marriage, divorce, singleness, and celibacy. And since it is written in the context of marriage, that doesn't mean that Paul hasn't given us timeless truths for how to live. And I believe that these truths illustrate the divine principle that there is no earthly status, such as racial heritage, or our political preferences, or our social standing, that is incompatible with the Christian's calling by God. There is no condition that is an obstacle to living the Christian life. Since we as believers are now defined by God's call into the fellowship of the Son, as Timothy said in chapter 1, and nothing else. The Corinthians thought that they were able to somehow improve their spirituality by performing certain duties like uncircumcision or circumcising themselves, or even abstaining entirely from anything physical. To improve their spirituality, they also thought about divorcing their spouse who wasn't a believer. And like Pastor Timothy said last week, the Corinthians were expecting radical changes to be made once they became Christians. Paul's saying here, though, that social status is not a precondition of the calling. And neither is a change always a natural consequence of becoming a Christian. But what truly matters is keeping the commandments of God by faith in Jesus Christ and depending upon the grace and the strength that the Holy Spirit gives us. And since I've been doing some tree work with David, I am starting to have tree analogies. And so faith is the root, and obedience then becomes the fruit in keeping the faith. And I believe Thistleton put it really well when he said, a Christian does not have to seek the right situation in order to enjoy Christian freedom or to serve God's call effectively. So whether you are married or single, you are able to serve, love, and glory in the glory of God. Paul is saying, and this is the big idea for today, let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to you and to which God has called you. Lead the life that the Lord has assigned to you and to which God has called you. And so in understanding how we're supposed to live this life and lead this life, we're going to look at reasons or living as we were called. And so the first one is going to be the reason for living as we were called. Number two is going to be the difficulty of living as we were called. And number three, it's going to be the power for living as we were called. So join me in verse 17. Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all the churches. So we see that this is a universal rule from Paul. And the Corinthians have been confused, thinking that they could somehow separate the spiritual from the physical, meaning that I can do anything I want physically because it has no impact on me spiritually. But Paul says that that is not the case. Our allegiance to Christ is a whole life allegiance. It permeates every area of our lives. It has implications for what goals we have in life, what we believe about community, authority, marriage, sexuality, and the list goes on. And oftentimes, I feel like we can tend to have this same mindset that the Corinthians do. And while it may not involve temple prostitution, we could divorce our identity that is found in Christ from our job or our social settings with different friend groups or even on social media. And I know for me personally, for the longest time, I thought I could do this as well. I would be one person on the soccer field, and then I would be the good Christian boy off the soccer field. When I was on the soccer field, I would say profanities, and I would, what people would say is play hard, but I knew in my heart that I was playing dirty. And so Paul tells us that that is not okay. We cannot separate the physical from the spiritual. And Paul uses the word called here differently in verse 17 than he does in the following verses, seven other times when he uses the word called. And I think in verse 17 here, he is specifically referring to our vocation. Because we see that the Corinthians, they had the mindset that my identity has changed, and so what I do for a living has to change as well. However, this is essentially a works-based righteousness that's played out on a social level instead of between us and God. In these verses, we'll see that Paul will speak of a saving grace as a calling, which we're going to call the vertical calling. And so when he says calling in verses 18, 20, 21, 22, and 24, he's talking about being saved by grace through faith in Jesus. And this is our fundamental cornerstone identity as a Christian. We are called now into the family of God. We are co-heirs with Christ, and nothing can change this identity for us. This identity is the source out of which everything else flows, where we are supposed to derive our satisfaction, our joy, our comfort, our security, our hope, and all of our fulfillment. But in verse 17, Paul speaks about the vocational calling, which we're going to call the horizontal calling. And this calling is always secondary to the vertical calling from God. Luther understood that the Christian is genuinely bivocational. He is called first through the gospel to faith in Jesus Christ, and he is called to occupy a particular station in life. The second sense of this calling embraces all that the Christian does in service to the neighbor, not only in particular occupation, but also as a member of a church, a citizen, a spouse, parent, or child and worker. Here the Christian lives in love towards other human beings and is the instrument by which God does his work in the world. So therefore, our fundamental identity, being called into faith in Christ, it shapes how we think about our vocational calling, where we work in the world. And so what is the reason for living as we were called? We see that a vertically derived identity gives us horizontal freedom. When we believe, when we truly believe that our identity is in Christ, and it gives us freedom in whatever work we might find ourselves doing in the world. And that's why when we're cutting trees, David, Louie, and I, and Dan can say that every limb, every branch, every chop we make, we can do to the glory of God. And so what is the reason for living as we are called? It's because God has called us. God's saving faith gives us freedom vocationally. But we see that there is difficulty in settling into our vocational call if we're uncertain about our identity, who we are, which is why Paul then goes into verses 18 and 19. It says, "Was anyone at the time of his call already circumcised? Let him not seek to remove the marks of circumcision. Was anyone at the time of his call uncircumcised? Let him not seek circumcision. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but keeping the commandments of God." So most literally, in the Greek, verse 19 reads, "Circumcision is nothing. Uncircumcision is nothing. Rather, keeping the commandments of God is everything." So Paul is confronting two opposite pendulum swings at the same time in one verse. And there's one verse or one group who's Judaizing, saying that if you want your identity to be fully Christian, then there needs to be some sort of external appearance change. And the other group is reverse Judaizing, saying that circumcision is so unimportant that you should seek a reversal. But Paul is saying that they are completely missing the point. They are seeking a social, works-based righteousness. They're wanting the approval from their peers rather than living out their identity that they have already been given. Paul is saying to a group of Jews and Gentiles, circumcision is nothing. Uncircumcision is nothing. In other words, if you were called as a Jew, don't try to become a Gentile. And if you were called as a Gentile, don't try to become a Jew. Now, this is about the most offensive thing that Paul could say to a Jew at that time, that circumcision is nothing. But if we stop and think about its broad cultural implications, it offends all of us. But it doesn't make it any less true. Especially as I think through what's been going on in our current cultural climate, John Piper said in one of his sermons concerning how society seeks to portray people, white is beautiful, black is beautiful, red is beautiful, yellow is beautiful. Therefore, maintain your cultural distinctiveness. And this is just as true as Paul saying, white is nothing, black is nothing, red is nothing, yellow is nothing. Rather, keeping the commandments of God is everything. Our culture and what Paul are saying are total opposites, yet they are both true. The point is to keep our focus and our worth rooted in Christ. Therefore, maintain your cultural distinctiveness and don't feel like you need to switch cultures. Paul is radically God-centered, and he's saying that obedience to the commands of God is so much more important than anything culturally that we might have. Don't make such a big deal as to whether you are white or black or even American. Rather, we are to make obedience a big deal. You are to make the whole aim of your life to follow the moral law of God. And when we do this, the cultural distinctives, as Paul says in Romans 2:25, they become truly beautiful. And so rather than focusing on cultural, vocational, political distinctiveness, be devoting yourself, soul and mind and body, to obeying the commandments of God, which are fulfilled in this: love your neighbor as yourself. And to expound on that a little bit, I'm going to go to Romans 13, verses 8 to 10. And it says, "Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfilling the law." Love fulfills the law. But love requires a relationship. And so ultimately, our relationship with Jesus is what is most important. And then we can use the same analogy in a different way, that our relationship with Jesus is the root. And our love and obedience then becomes the fruit of our relationship with Jesus. And so when I say make the whole aim of your life to obey the moral law of God, this can only be done through a relationship with Jesus. And if you want, you can look up Galatians 2, 19-21 for more on that. But then Paul turns his attention to another cultural example to emphasize his theological point. Follow along in verses 20 to 22 with me. "Each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. Were you a bondservant when called? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can gain your freedom, avail yourself of the opportunity. For he who was called in the Lord as a bondservant is a freed man of the Lord. Likewise, he who was free when called is a bondservant of Christ." So Paul is switching his attention here from an ethnic status now to a social status. And again, Paul is hitting home with his original readers, because one third of Corinth's population was freedmen and another third was slaves. And since this passage particularly brings up the topic of slavery, I think it's really important to note that the Bible nowhere condones slavery. Rather, it sets up consistently social conditions where slavery will ultimately fail. So, and it's important to distinguish between modern slavery and the slavery that Paul is referring to here. In his commentary, Stephen said, "The modern understanding of slavery is largely about hard labor. In the ancient world, it covered all vocational levels. A slave could run a business, be a teacher, or even manage a household. Slaves in Corinth would not have been hard laborers. Many would sell themselves into slavery for economic and social advantages. Modern slavery was race-based. In the ancient world, slavery was non-race-based. Anyone could become a slave. So where modern slavery is permanent, slavery in Paul's context is voluntary, and you could buy yourself out of slavery. And Paul says, if the opportunity arises, then make the most of that opportunity. Free yourself. So Paul is not an advocate for slavery. But Paul's also showing us that there could be exceptions to what he has previously said in this chapter, that our change in status is unimportant as it relates to the call of salvation on our lives. But it doesn't mean that the change of status is prohibited. Paul shows that being a slave is not a hindrance or an obstacle to living the Christian life. But if the opportunity arises, then free yourself. Life is really complex, and there isn't a one-size-fits-all rule to his remain as you are command. There are advantages to being a free person, just as there are advantages with being single. There are advantages with being a slave, as we see, just as there are advantages to being married, but I'm not saying that marriage is slavery. But these advantages, they have nothing to do with one's identity or their standing in God. And even if we go back to verse 19 where it says, "For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but keeping the commandments of God." I believe that Paul is showing us that it doesn't matter where you are in life, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, whether you are slave or free or married or single. It's not important where you are in life, but what is important is, are you obeying the commands of God as God intended, meaning dependence upon Christ? Where is your heart in it? Where is your heart? Are you striving for holiness and purity with whatever context you find yourself in? Are you loving your neighbor as yourself? And these things, all of these things, are only possible through a relationship with Jesus Christ. So, Christian, you should be living in the identity of Christ, regardless of your vocation, social standing, political preferences, or ethnicity, because you were called. And because you were called, your identity is now found in nothing but the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is because Jesus was born fully God and fully man as a baby, and he grew up just like us, except he lived a perfect life. And being tempted in every way, he was without sin and he worshiped God alone. And it was because he lived this perfect life that he gave his life for us, for me and for you. He died on the cross drinking the cup of wrath of God that was reserved for us, but he took it in our place. And he didn't just stay in the grave, but he rose again to life and he ascended into heaven and is now at the right hand of the Father. So now anyone who puts their faith in Christ will have eternal life. Christ removes our sin by his sacrifice on the cross, and then he clothes us in his righteousness. And so when we place our faith in Christ, this is our new identity. We are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And this is our identity. And so everything we do is at least secondary to this new identity. And our identity in Christ needs to shape how we live our lives vocationally, socially, ethnically, and politically. And so follow along with me in verses 22 to 24, and we'll see where we get the power to live as we were called. For he who was called in the Lord as a bondservant is a freed man of the Lord. Likewise, he who was free when called is a bondservant of Christ. You were bought with a price. Do not become bondservants of men. So, brothers, in whatever condition each was called, there let him remain with God. And so our identity in Christ, it naturally diffuses the tension that we face between our vocation and our identity in him. And I believe that we see a beautiful example of this being played out in 2 Kings 5, where Naaman, this Syrian general, second in command only to the king of Syria, comes to Elisha, the prophet, to help clear him of his leprosy. And so Elisha says, dunk yourself 7 times in the Jordan River and you will be clean. And so Naaman does this very reluctantly, but he still does this and he is cleansed of his leprosy. And I believe that in the context and seeing Naaman's attitude, that he actually puts his faith in God. And so Naaman tells Elisha that he's willing to give him this present for cleaning him. And Elisha graciously declines. But I think it's especially important to note that in this passage, while it seems very clear that Naaman puts his faith in the God of Israel, the only God and no other, Naaman, a newly changed man in body and soul, he still has to deal with his responsibilities of being a commander of an army. And he did not completely drop his work because of his newfound worldview or change of heart. While he was committed to working in his nation, he no longer worshiped his nation. Similarly, if we are in a workplace where things don't seem favorable or necessarily going our way, it doesn't mean that we must abandon our work because we are Christians. Naaman made it clear that while he still had to enter the temple of Ramon, he no longer worshiped Ramon. He was simply doing what was required of him while worshiping the Lord God. The gospel gives us freedom. Verse 23 says, "You were bought with a price, so now we are free in the Lord." And the Corinthians would have understood this as Christ's freedmen, they now take on the name of their master. They were freed by a great patron. And freedmen took their pride in their patron and identified themselves with their patron. And D. Martin explains it as the slave's real status is determined by his or her placement in a different household entirely, the household of Christ. The slave is a freed person of the Lord and shares in the benefits, status, and obligations that relationship brings. And so even the free person is now a slave of Christ. And that's what Paul says he is. He says, Paul, a servant of Christ. Paul is a slave of Christ. That actually places him on a lower social ladder than the freedman would be. And so I think he's trying to say that cultural values that elevate people based on their ethnicity or their work or their wealth or their education do not affect our worth as a Christian. And so in closing, I'll give some questions for application that you can write down, think about this week, chew on them. Have you been mistaking your vocation for your identity? Have you been mistaking your vocation for your identity? Have you been asking your job or your marriage or anything else? Because I don't know your heart like you do. Have you been asking anything to provide for you what only Christ can provide? Are you stuck because you have pursued comfort and success above actively loving God and your neighbor? Wherever you are, be faithful with what God has entrusted to you and remain faithful until he calls you to something else. And if you are being called to something else, then remain faithful in the waiting, because wherever we are presently is immensely important because God is with us. We are the holy of holies. God's presence is in us. And so lead the life that the Lord has assigned to you and to which God has called you. And this is done through the reason for living as we're called. God has called you, You have a new identity, Christian. But we saw that there's difficulty in doing that culturally and socially. But we have been given power for living as we are called. It's our freedom in Christ through the power and the grace of the Holy Spirit. So live out your identity in Christ. Let me pray. God, thank you so much for today, for your word and how it is strong enough and true that it teaches us, it corrects us when we might not be thinking properly. God, help us and convict us if we have been placing things above you. Help us to live as we have been called, first and foremost, into the fellowship of the Son, and then in our vocation. Help us to meditate and dwell on Christ and his sacrifice, and help that and let that transform the way that we live our lives. Thank you for Jesus. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live at peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.